Tag 4 in Alpbach. Und unsere heutige Folge beginnen wir mit einer ziemlich heißen Diskussion, nämlich über den Klimawandel oder eigentlich über das Fliegen. Hallo und herzlich willkommen in Episode 4 unseres Kongressjournals. Mein Name ist Anna Wallner und
mein Name ist Eva Winreuter.
Ja, und ich würde sagen, wir hören da mal rein in das Gespräch.
Ich bin seit 6 Jahren in kein Flugzeug mehr gestiegen.
Und du glaubst, das ist die Antwort? Wenn jetzt alle nicht in den Flieger steigen würden, dann würden wir die Klimakrise sozusagen in den Griff kriegen?
Nein, aber es würde sich tatsächlich von heute auf morgen sehr viel ändern, wenn 8 Milliarden Menschen entscheiden würden, sie steigen in kein Flugzeug mehr. Also es gibt keine Dimension unseres Lebens, die sich nicht verändern muss, um diese drohende Katastrophe irgendwie noch zu vermeiden. Das braucht sowohl systemische Ansätze als auch ganz starke Veränderungen des persönlichen Lebensstils. Und sich da immer nur auf die systemische Ebene auszureden und zu sagen, die Politik muss was verändern und wenn ich persönlich meinen Lebensstil verändere, bringt das ja eh nichts, weil es gibt so viele Menschen auf der Welt. Nein, Bullshit.
Im konkreten Fall konnten Sie da zunächst einmal Hanja Pieser hören. Sie ist Präsidentin des Stipendiatenclubs IG Wien und sie hat versucht, meine Kollegin Eva Winreuter davon zu überzeugen, nie mehr in einen Flieger zu steigen. Was meine Kollegin aber ganz klar verweigert hat.
Aber wer entscheidet zum Beispiel, was du persönlich für Einschränkungen machst? Ich zum Beispiel würde es total schlimm finden, nicht mehr fliegen zu können. Finde es aber nicht so schlimm, im Winter meine Wohnung runterzudrehen. Völlig überspitzt und brutal formuliert. Ich friere lieber, als wie dass ich nicht in den Flieger steige. Wir wissen ja alle, wenn wir alle Wohnungen um 2 Grad runterkühlen würden, dann würde es schon auch viel tun. Also heißt, ich habe auch meinen Beitrag geleistet, würde aber trotzdem noch in den Flieger steigen und hätte aber dann auch, möchte dann eigentlich auch nicht geschämt werden dafür.
Ist die Frage, was das Ziel deines oder die Definition deines Beitragleistens ist, tatsächlich um klimaneutral zu sein, wird es beides brauchen. Es wird eine kältere Wohnung brauchen und auf den Flug zu verzichten. Und noch viel mehr als das. Du jetzt sagst, das Ziel deines Beitrages ist es, Paris-konform zu leben, dann sind sämtliche Dimensionen unseres Lebens davon betroffen. Meiner Meinung nach reicht es nicht.
Aber ich meine, lebst du Paris-konform?
Keine Person in Österreich lebt Paris-konform. Das ist nicht möglich. Pariser Klimaziel heißt, dass wir die Klimakrise, die Klimaerwärmung auf unter 2,2 Grad Erwärmung halten, wenn möglich auf 1,5 Grad. Das heißt für mitteleuropäische Menschen, dass wir unseren Lebensstil radikal ändern müssen. Nicht mehr fliegen, weniger stark die Wohnungen heizen, Wohnungen vor allem sanieren, thermisch und energetisch, also Wärmedämmung und neue Heizsysteme. Und dass wir vor allem unser Mobilitätsverhalten ändern. Das heißt nicht kein Auto, das heißt dort, wo es absolut möglich, absolut einfach geht, nicht mehr Auto zu fahren, da verzichten wir aufs Auto.
Und warum spielen wir Ihnen dieses Gespräch überhaupt vor, an dem übrigens auch Katja Hummer von der IG Wien beteiligt war? Das hat einen guten Grund. Am 25. August fand hier in Alpbach nämlich der Klimastreik statt. Und aus diesem Anlass kam auch der 24-jährige Klimaaktivist Nicolas Omunuk hier in den Ort. Er ist in Afrika geboren und hat die Klimakrise am eigenen Leib erfahren. Seine Geschichte zeigt sehr gut, wie unterschiedlich die Klimakrise auf der Welt wahrgenommen wird und wie banal sie hier diskutiert wird, während sie woanders buchstäblich Leben zerstört.
Presse Play. Was in Alpbach wichtig ist. Der Presse-Podcast aus Alpbach wird unterstützt von der Erste Group.
Ich treffe Nicolas Omunuk auf der Terrasse seiner Unterkunft in Alpbach. Vor uns sehen wir die Bergkulisse, die bei gutem Wetter noch immer so aussieht, als wäre sie direkt aus einer Postkarte gefallen. Omunuk kennt seine Landschaft erst, seit er das erste Mal in Europa war. Er ist als Nomade in Palisa in Uganda aufgewachsen. Sein Vater betrieb eine Weidewirtschaft. Und um den Tieren genügend Gras und Wasser zu bieten, zogen sie herum. Ihre Unterkünfte bestanden dabei aus Lehmhütten mit Grasdach und Boden aus getrocknetem Kuhdung.
We had around 10 huts at my grandpa's place. So we would sleep in huts that have muddy floors. These floors were made with cow dung. So we would mix cow dung with water and then we smear it on the floor.
Vielleicht wäre das alles auch so weitergegangen, hätte der heute 24-Jährige nicht die Auswirkungen des Klimawandels irgendwann selbst gespürt. 2020 erlebte sein Dorf eine Dürreperiode, wie es sie noch nie gegeben hat.
In 2021 we had a very long season of a very hot drought. And during this hot drought, it was very hard for us to find water and pasture for our animals. And usually we used to walk shorter distances of like about 1 kilometer or 1.5 kilometers to the seasonal wells where we would get this water for our animals. And we also had some big farms of some maize and also some bananas. Yeah, but during this drought, all our bananas dried out and our maize became very hard. And when the maize becomes very hard, it's very hard to make flour out of it, good flour out of it. And then for our animals, it became more and more intense for us because it was very hard for us to find the wells that were close. So some animals like did not get enough water and pasture for this. So some of them like died and some of them were very malnutritioned and it was very hard for our parents to sell them.
Und das hatte Konsequenzen. Denn besonders der Verkauf der Kühe stellte sicher, dass die Kinder zur Schule gehen konnten. Als das Geld ausblieb, wurde als erstes den Mädchen die Bildung verweigert.
It shifted from a climate crisis issue to also a social issue to also a financial issue. So it was more of like affecting everything, affecting the livelihoods of the people because we could not get water for these animals and some people could no longer get enough food at their homes. They could no longer get a balanced diet. So there was food insecurity too. So it was very complicated. So some homes decided not to take the girl child to school and prioritize the boy child to go to school because they could no longer get enough money from their cows. They could no longer sell any food. So the girls had to stay home and do house chores and also look for more water to help with the house chores, which was totally very bad for them. But by then, I didn't really know that this was all the impacts of climate change, and I didn't know that this was because of climate change and it's something that's being caused by emissions and being caused by global warming.
Erst als er auf die Universität ging, sein Vater zählt zu den Wohlhabenderen in der Gegend, lernte er den Begriff Klimakrise kennen und begriff, dass sein Dorf schon die Auswirkungen davon spürte. Er beschloss, sich als Aktivist zu engagieren, aufzuklären, den Menschen zu zeigen, was los ist. Denn nicht nur die Einwohner in Uganda, sondern auch jene im benachbarten Kenia oder im noch östlicheren Somalia sind schon längst davon betroffen.
This year alone we had floods in DRC, in Democratic Republic of Congo. I don't know whether everyone in Europe is aware of what happened, but over 300 people lost their lives and a lot of homes were shattered. A lot of homes were shattered. A lot of jobs were shattered. People could no longer have their lives back because everything was destroyed because of a very heavy flash flood that lasted for around 4 days. And we also had a cyclone this year in Mozambique and Malawi. And same story, over 300 people died in this. And this was a very huge cyclone that lasted for so many days. I think it lasted for almost 1 week. And during this whole period, it was always tears from these people, tears from different mothers, from different fathers, different children who had lost their parents, which was very sad for these people. And they didn't know what to do. They could not adapt to these impacts. They could not get back their life. They could not bring back the people that had died in these floods.
In Austria, we have a lot of climate skeptical people that say, well, there have always been floods, there have always been heat periods. How do you see that in Africa? Is this...
Yeah, so in Africa, I can give an example of where I come from. We used to have short drought periods, and it would be a drought period of like 1 month or 2 months. And during this period, you would not face so much damage. Like, I mean, the animals would still get some water. They would still get some food. And we didn't have so many floods and landslides. It's because it was very easy to predict seasons, because in Uganda, all the farmers and all the people depend on nature. They can just look at the sunshine and look at the clouds and know that it's going to rain the next day. They don't need to use a weather forecast. But then it became hard for these people to forecast this, because they would expect rain to come in February up to April. And then from February up to April, it's very hot, very hot, and there is no food. You cannot plant anything. So the people who are used to planting in February could plant their crops and their crops dry up. These events have been happening more often. Yes, spectacle people speak so much, but they're just denying the facts that are ongoing because they have not experienced it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you seen already people migrating from your hometown or from areas in Africa because they just couldn't live there anymore?
Yeah, I think that's something very common, because as I told you about my situation in my community, it caused people to have a financial crisis. And this financial crisis is always what makes people to sell off all their land. For example, there are so many people who are neighboring us, who are originally neighboring us in my village, and they were our well-known neighbors. But now whenever I go back, you cannot see them there because they left there because they could not handle the extremities that were happening there. So they sold their land and sold everything that they had, sold all their cows and sold everything and moved to cities. And most of them are there in cities and their lives are very miserable because they have failed to get jobs. Most of them do not know English. Most of them cannot speak any English. So they end up getting low-paying jobs. They end up getting jobs that they are not meant to do yet. And also, so many people have been migrating from Somalia and also South Sudan. There are many Somalis in Uganda. I cannot mention the number, but there's so many Somalis who are fleeing from different food scarcity issues that are there because they can't eat, they can't get food from there. They can't do anything because it's so hot. And to worsen it, there's also a war there. So the war and the climate crisis, it's something that's increasing the problem and increasing the issue.
So wird eine Abwärtsspirale in Gang gesetzt, die die Menschen von einem Land zum anderen migrieren lässt. Schon jetzt gibt es Klimaflüchtlinge. Sie werden nur nicht anerkannt. Denn die Klimakrise ist noch kein Asylgrund.
When you move from Somalia, you come to Uganda. And then in Uganda, you can't get anything good from there because it's also facing the same issue of the climate crisis. So they end up trying to apply for asylum in other countries, in European countries. So some of them end up traveling from country to country. They move from Uganda, they go to Sudan. From Sudan, they go to Morocco. From Morocco, they're trying to cross the border. So most of the times, it doesn't end well when they try to cross the border because there's so much police there and they end up letting them to die there at the borders. I was at one of the climate justice camps in Basel, Switzerland, a few weeks back. And one of the issues that was being talked about was the issue of climate change and migration. And many migrants were telling us all the migration stories from the climate crisis. And when you listen to all these migrants, they had to go through so much to even come to Switzerland. So it was very crazy that someone had to bear this much stress, had to bear crossing so many countries without any passport, without anything, and crossing the sea. They end up in Switzerland and they're still being denied asylum of something that Switzerland is causing or something that a global north country is causing. So all these issues are being caused by the global north countries. And instead of them tightening borders and instead of them like denying these people any justice, instead of them denying that the climate crisis is a real issue, they should look at addressing the issue itself. They should look at addressing what's causing these people to move, what's causing them to die.
In seiner Arbeit als Aktivist versucht er nun auch die Menschen in Afrika aufzuklären. Denn sie sehen zwar die Auswirkungen, wissen aber oft nicht, was passiert.
The people in these global south countries, the people in Africa, are not aware of climate change. And it's not because they do not want, but because they don't have so much resources, they don't have so much technology to know that this is happening. They don't have so much resources to know that maybe a storm is coming or a flood is coming or a drought. They can't prepare for all these impacts and all these issues. So it's up to us as activists to also raise awareness to these people and also let them know about whatever is happening. So it's my role to, I'm always doing sensitization. I'm always also getting involved in tree planting sessions to help like restore some nature, because also our forests are being cut down due to so many fossil fuel projects like the East African Crude Oil Pipeline. We plant trees and also create awareness to different schools and tell them about the importance of trees in fighting climate change. And also we tell them how they can get involved in the fight against climate change.
Doch das Engagement der jungen Menschen kann schnell einmal gefährlich werden. In Uganda bedeutet Klimaaktivismus nicht, Plakate zu schwingen, sich festzukleben und dann wieder freundlich von der Polizei von der Straße gelöst zu werden. In Uganda heißt Klimaaktivismus, mit dem eigenen Leben zu spielen.
Our activism is very much different. So in Uganda in 2020 we had so many activist killings and so many activist abductions. And most of these activists were human rights activists. And this was because of the political situation that was ongoing. So many activists had to die for speaking out. So as a climate activist, you're not only fighting against extreme weather events. You're not only fighting against the social events that happen, the social injustices, but you're also fighting for human rights. Because when there's a fossil fuel project in your country, there are so many people who lose their homes. There are so many people whose lives are shattered due to this project. So you're fighting everything. So you also become a big threat to the government, you become a big threat to the fossil fuel companies, you become a big threat to the politicians globally and also within Africa and within your country.
Eines der Projekte, gegen die Nicolas Omonuk protestiert, ist die East African Crude Oil Pipeline, kurz ECOP. Mit rund 1450 Kilometern soll sie die längste beheizte Pipeline der Welt sein. Sie stößt nicht nur unheimlich viel CO2 aus, sie vertreibt auch Menschen in Uganda und Tansania aus rund 400 Dörfern und zieht eine Schneise durch eine der artenreichsten Regionen der Welt. Sie ist auch der Grund, warum der 24-jährige Aktivist hier ist. Denn auch das Forum Alpbach hat über Sponsoren eine Verbindung zu dieser Pipeline. Das findet zumindest die Bewegung Fridays for Future, die den Klimastreik organisiert hat. Für Nicolas Omonuk ist es wichtig, dass die Konsequenzen dieser Pipeline aufgezeigt werden.
So many people have been affected by the pipeline. So many people have lost their land. So many people have lost everything that they had, everything that they believed in. And these people are given unfair compensation or even no compensation. Instead of them creating buildings, alternative buildings, or doing something for these people, they didn't do anything and were considered illegal migrants on this land. And this was not caused by the government, but it was caused by the company, which was pushing the governments to push these people away from these people, from this land, which brings back the topic that the main cause of every injustice is because of the northern countries, putting pressure on the global south countries. And this pressure is pushed on the governments, and the governments put the pressure on the people. The pipeline has affected so many people. Over 100,000 people are into internally displaced camps. And these camps, these people are squeezed. There's not much space for them. You find a family of 5 to 10 people in a small tent. They're settling there. Initially, these people had big land where they could farm, where they could get food. They were also near Lake Albert, where they could get some fish from them. Right now, these people can no longer get enough food. They can't get any money because they can't farm. So it means they can't take the students to school. So it just makes everything complicated.
Und gegen genau diese Pipeline wurde auch beim Alpbach-Klimastreik protestiert.
No more coal, no more oil, keep the carbon in the soil. No more coal, no more oil.
Das Argument der Veranstalter des Streiks lautet, das Forum werde unter anderem auch von Banken finanziert, die ihrerseits auch in den französischen Ölkonzern Total Energies investiert haben. Und genau der baut derzeit die East African Crude Oil Pipeline. So lautet der Vorwurf. Das Forum Alpbach will sich dazu übrigens nicht äußern. Das war's mit Tag 4 unseres Kongressjournals. Eva Wienreuther und ich, Anna Wallner, melden uns noch bis zum 1. September jeden Morgen aus Alpbach. Wenn Sie keine unserer Folgen verpassen wollen, dann abonnieren Sie, was in Alpbach wichtig ist, im Podcatcher Ihrer Wahl. Und wenn Sie uns etwas ausrichten wollen oder wenn Sie eine Anregung, eine Idee oder Kritik an diesem Podcast haben, dann schreiben Sie uns unter podcast@diepresse.com. Und vor allem, wenn Sie mögen, was Sie hören, dann sagen Sie es weiter. Bis morgen.
Presse Play. Was in Alpbach wichtig ist.